Let's turn to 201 in the Grace and Glory. 201. I have learned the wondrous secret of abiding in the Lord. I have found the strength and sweetness of confiding in His Word. I have tasted life's pure fountain. I am drinking of His blood. I have lost myself in Jesus. I am sinking into God. I am abiding in the Lord and confiding in His Word. And I'm hiding, safely hiding in the bosom of His love. I was crucified with Jesus, and He lives and reigns in me. I have ceased from all my struggling, 'tis no longer I but He. All my will is yielded to Him, and His Spirit dwells within, and His precious blood each moment keeps me cleansed and free from sin. I'm abiding in the Lord and confiding in His Word. And I'm hiding, safely hiding in the bosom of His love. All my cares I cast upon Him, and He bears them all away. All my fears and griefs I tell Him, all my needs from day to day. All my strength I draw from Jesus, by His breath I live and move. Even His very mind He gives me, and His faith and life and love. I'm abiding in the Lord and confiding in His Word. And I'm hiding, safely hiding in the bosom of His love. For my words I take His wisdom, for my works His Spirit's power, for my ways His gracious presence guards and guides me every hour. Of my heart He is the portion, of my joy the boundless spring. He's a sanctifier, healer, glorious Lord and coming King. I'm abiding in the Lord and confiding in His Word. And I'm hiding, safely hiding in the bosom of His love. Sing it again, here we go. I'm abiding in the Lord and confiding in His Word. And I'm hiding, safely hiding in the bosom of His love. Praise Jesus. 123. has come, he has come, my Redeemer has come. He has taken my heart as his own chosen home. At last I have given the welcome he sought. He has come and is coming, all gladness has brought. Joy, joy is mine, my Savior divine comes to abide with me, with me, comes to abide, ever to abide. My own loving Savior abideth with me. He has come, he has come, my love and my Lord. Every thought of my being is swayed by his word. He has come and he rules in the realm of my soul. And his scepter is love, oh blessed control. Joy, joy is mine, my Savior divine comes to abide with me, comes to abide, ever to abide. My own loving Savior abideth with me. He has come, he has come, oh happiest heart. He has given his word that he will not depart. No trouble can enter, no evil can come to the heart where the God of peace has his home. Joy, joy is mine, my Savior divine comes to abide with me, comes to abide, ever to abide. My own loving Savior abideth with me. He has come to abide, and holy must be the place where my Lord finds to banquet with me. And this is my praise, Lord, that thou art come. May meet for thy presence my heart as thy home. Joy, joy is mine, my Savior divine comes to abide with me, comes to abide, ever to abide. My own loving Savior abideth with me again. Joy, joy is mine, my Savior divine comes to abide with me, comes to abide, ever to abide. My own loving Savior abideth with me. Oh, we seek you, Lord. Amen. Early will I seek thee, early will I bless thy name. Early will I come before thee with thanksgiving. For thou hast redeemed redeem me, thou hast shown me thy light. Early will I praise and bless thy name. Jesus died upon the cruel cross of Calvary. There he chose to give his life for me, that he might set me free. He died and was buried, yet he rose in victory. Jesus, blessed Lamb of Calvary, thou art good and greatly to be praised. Thy mercy endureth forever. Thou art the Lord, blessed Lamb of Calvary. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Early will I seek thee, early will I bless thy name. Early will I come before thee with thanksgiving. For thou hast redeemed me, thou hast shown me thy light. Early will I praise and bless thy name. We bless you, Lord. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. He's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages. Jesus, my Lord. Wonderful is his name. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. He is our peace, who has broken down every wall. Has broken down every wall. He is our peace. He is our peace. Cast all your care on him, for he cares for you. Our peace. Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. Thank you, Lord. Sister Anita has a song for us this morning.
Far away in the depths of my spirit tonight rolls a melody sweeter than song. In celestial like strains it unceasingly
chorus this morning. Let's worship him. Give him all the praise. Only to be what He wants me to be every moment of every day. Yielded completely to Jesus alone. Every step of his pilgrim way. Just to the potter's hands, ready to do what his word commands, only to be what he wants me to be every moment.
Sing it from the beginning. Amen.
Only to be what he wants me to be every moment of every day. Yielded completely to Jesus alone. Every step of this pilgrim way, just to be clay in the potter's hands, ready to do what his word commands. Only what he wants me to be every moment of every day.
Hallelujah. God is so good. Watches over us, keeping us in his care, in his will, always. Praise the Lord. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to turn over to, didn't write my text down, 2 Kings, the 4th chapter. Let's go to 2 Kings, the 4th chapter. We're going to talk about a miracle that God performed here and the results today and the woman that was involved in that. And at this point of time, before we start reading, we want to realize that Elijah the prophet had been caught away to heaven, and his follower that followed him all the time and took helped take care of him, did things for him, his name was Elisha. And as we read about the prophet Elisha, he actually did many more miracles than Elijah did. God gave him a special gift. In the second chapter of 2 Kings, you see Elijah going up to heaven, and how that, I believe it's second chapter, and Elisha had to watch him go into heaven so that he could get the blessing that Elijah had would be on him. And of course, then the whirlwind came through, and Elijah, a big chariot of fire went through, and Elijah was taken up in the whirlwind, it says. But Elisha kept watching and waiting. And he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen off when Elijah was changed and went up to heaven. And he took that and he struck the River Jordan with that mantle, and the river rolled back. And then from that point, God started using him in miraculous miracles of various time and kinds. If you'd like to read those, just starting with chapter 2 and just read on through, you'll see what God did for Elisha. Now, in this chapter that we're going to read, in chapter 4, let's start with the first verse. Now, there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophet. Wait, I don't want to begin there. I'm sorry. We're not going to read that far ahead. I'm sorry. Verse 8. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, which was a place there, a town right there, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. So it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. So we're going to be particularly talking about this great woman. Now, we might have all kinds of ideas about what it means when it says that she was great, but it's wonderful to see actually what that means. In the Amplified version, it has it as being prominent in character. This woman was kind of a go-getter and the one that was overseeing everything, it seemed like, in her family, but she was more in tune with God than her husband was. So she was a great woman. That means she was an influential woman. And the word great does not speak of her being overweight or what her character was in that sense, but it means an elevated character. She was a woman, we might say today that she was a go-getter. She had noble and moral eminence, is what it says in the meaning of the word. She had freedom from anything petty, and it speaks of an elevated character, which being a higher level, also we can use the word happy instead of elevated. In the Greek or the Hebrew, it says that. The word happy, she was a woman that was happy, so that made her life great. Isn't that something? You know, when we take things from God in our lives and we overcome, it makes our life great. It makes our life blessed and happy in the Lord and all of those things. It's a wonderful thing. So in verse 9, and she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God which passes by us continually. See, she had a spiritual discernment that she is the one that speaks to her husband and says, I believe this man that comes by, a holy man of God, and he comes by her continually, which is a really wonderful thing. The word perceived there means that she discerned that. So speaks about her thoughts in the Lord. Praise the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 12, 13, we aren't going to turn there, but it says, we beseech you to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and esteem them very highly for their work's sake. And that's what she was doing for Elisha. She said, this man is a man of God. I perceive that he is a man of God that passes by here. So she had spiritual discernment. Then she tells her husband, let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. So she wanted to have hospitality toward this man of God that came regularly through there. She was making provision for him. And praise the Lord, it was provision in God's things, wasn't it? Because he needed a place to stay, and she was willing to do that. Now, God has this all set up, doesn't he? Because in verse 10, many of you read this before, verse 11, it says, and it fell on a day. It fell on a day. Isn't that an odd statement? It fell on a day. Praise the Lord. It means there. It was not a happenstance. Somebody was behind all of this, that it fell on this certain day. Something took place. It was very, very serious. It fell on a day that he came hither and he turned in to the chamber and he lay there. God had given him that provided for this prophet this wonderful place to stay, so he went there and he stayed. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shulamite. Notice that she's a Shunammite. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? Because we later have the Shulamite or the Shunammite in the Song of Solomon and speaking of the bride of Christ. But when he had called her, she stood before him. She wasn't being belligerent or anything. She just stood there waiting for him to say something. And he said unto him, say now to her, he told his servant to speak to her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all of this care. She had been careful about the things of God. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Yes. She was watchful. She saw that this man of God needed something, a place to stay, and it was provided as she spoke to her husband. Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all of this care. What is to be done for thee? How can I award thee? Wouldst thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? He begins to say, what would you like? Would you like me to speak to the king for you or the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. She means, I am satisfied. I have everything sufficient. She was a believer in the Lord, and she had everything that was sufficient. Let's us think about us as being like this Shulamite woman, this woman that is such a good example of hospitality in all that she had. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. She doesn't have a child that she can love on and raise, and it's hard on her. And he said, call her. Elisha says to call her in. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. It's the promise of God given to her. Praise the Lord. Thou shalt have a son. She showed her obedience to God by not being impulsive. She stood in the doorway, and this is what he told her. It was hard for her to believe because all the years she hadn't had children, and here it was that he's saying, you're going to have a child in 1 year. It was an incredulous thing. You ever had people tell you something that made you incredulous? Hard to believe. She'd made the most of her life up until right this point. She was a leader, no doubt, was content. Circumstances did not show a way for this to happen. They had never had any children. And so she said, there, she stood before him, and she answers, and she says in the latter part of verse 16, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. Don't lie to me about this. This is a serious matter. Don't lie to me. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her according to the time of life. So in about 9 months, here she is pregnant she has this little baby boy. It's such a wonderful thing. Such a wonderful, wonderful blessing. As I was reading this, I thought of how God works in our lives, whatever it is that we have need of, you know, like she needed a child. She didn't realize it, but she did need a child, and it wasn't going to happen in the natural. And so she believed his word, and of course in less than a year, there was the child, was born. Praise the Lord. Now in verse 18, and when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father, to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. So he was still a small child at this time that he could be carried. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees until noon, and then he died. So strange happenings, isn't it, that God would grant her a child and then allow the child to die when he was just a little child. And I found in my own life, and I know that many of you have gone through many trials, that sometimes trials that happen to us are very, very hard. We do not understand exactly what God is trying to do and the methods that he uses to work in us. But we do have the precious scriptures from the Word of God in Romans 8:28. Can anybody tell me what that is? That's our rocking chair. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord and to them that are the called according to his purpose. Why would God allow this little child to die after he had given to her this child miraculously? He always has some reason, and a lot of times we don't really understand, that's for sure. In verse 20, when he had taken him up, they brought her to his mother. His mother was sitting there with the child on her knees, and then he died. Verse 21, she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. She had some faith. If this, the power of God that strengthens Elisha, that makes him be able to do these miracles, this is the power of God. And I'm going to take him up there and lay him on that bed. And I believe she no doubt had faith right then. She was going to rest in the promise of God. She was going to rest and believe God. In verse 22, and she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. Praise the Lord. I love that right there because, you know, all of us have been through trials, and, you know, it's our natural tendency not to run to God first. We usually try other methods, seeking things, looking for things, whatever it is that we've lost something or we have a trial with our being, our health or something. But she immediately realizes that there is no help outside of God, and we've got to get the man of God over here. And so and her husband said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. That's where our title comes from. It shall be well. She had great faith. I'm believing God. That's what she's saying. I'm believing God. I am going to go and find this man of God, and things are going to turn out right. In Matthew 21:21, Jesus said, if you say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, it shall be done. It's all by faith, isn't it? Everything that we receive from the Lord is by faith. And here she says, I believe God. I believe God. Wanted to run and get this man of God over there so that everything would be well, and she believed that. Verse 24, then she saddled an ass, and she said to her servant, drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. She might have been a little slow at riding the animal, but she tells him to go fast and find this man of God. And she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar far off, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. So we want to look at Elijah as if he's God watching for us. Do you think the Lord knows everything about us? Yes, he does. And when we begin to have a need, he's watching for us to come and tell him what our need is. I think that's a beautiful, beautiful thing there. Verse 27, when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet, and Gehazi came near to thrust her away. That's kind of reminds me of other portions of scripture in the Bible, the disciples, you know, don't crowd him. There's too big a bunch of people here. Go away. Don't bother Jesus. But the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. Her soul is vexed within her. She was going through a deep trial. Her faith was still strong, but she was having a terrible trial with this. Her soul was vexed, and the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me. So Elisha didn't know anything about it until this moment. Then she said, Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? She's a human being, isn't she? You ever feel that way sometimes when the Lord allows something, you're wondering, what on earth is happening now? And why has God allowed this to happen? I think that we realize that sometimes. Lord, what is it you're trying to work? What is this, Lord? Verse 29, then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins and take my staff in thine hand and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. If any salute thee, answer him not again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child. So God has strange means. Is there any power in the staff? Well, he used it to part the water as he went back across Jordan earlier. But God has strange means. And in this point, it was something that God laid on him to do, so he did that. He had Gehazi go and lay the staff upon the face of the boy. Verse 31, and Gehazi passed on before them, and he laid the staff. Let's read verse 30. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth, and as my soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. So they went together, and he followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them, and he laid the staff upon the face of the child. And there was neither voice nor hearing. There was nothing there, no sound of life. Wherefore he went again to meet him, Elisha, and he told him, saying, the child is not awaked. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead, and he laid upon his bed. And he went in therefore and shut the door before them twain, and he prayed unto the Lord. Praise the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? And he went up and he lay upon the child. He prayed first. Why did he pray first? Because he was waiting for the Lord to show him what to do. And the Lord spoke to him what to do. And it's an odd thing. Somebody said this is the first time that God used artificial respiration. We know it wasn't artificial. It wasn't that he laid on the child and got his body warm and pressed on him and all of a sudden he come back to life. This was a spiritual thing. He went up and he laid upon the child and he put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands and he stretched himself upon the child and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and he walked in the house to and fro. And he went up and he stretched himself upon him and the child sneezed 7 times and the child opened up his eyes. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Praise the Lord. And he called Gehazi and he said, call this Shunammite. So he called her and when she was come in unto him, he said, take up thy son. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So beautiful. Just to see what God can do. Praise God. We've gone through trials where we've prayed a lot and the Lord didn't do this miracle, but we know that he can do it. He has all power. Praise the Lord. When she went in humbly, didn't she, over to see Elisha, she fell at his feet in worship. She fell at his feet. She praised God and thanked for her son's deliverance. She took up her son by faith, no questioning. She goes on the way that she goes over there, not doubting and praising God. Praise the name of Jesus. I think that she really speaks to us a lot, doesn't she? She went in verse 37 and fell down at his feet and began to worship. Praise the Lord. The Lord answered her prayer. Glory to God. She was ready to believe and to keep on going in her life, even if her child died. But the Lord was working his wonderful way in her life. Hallelujah. I just thank God for that. Now, this is interesting because we hear about her again, and we're going to turn and see that later on in chapter 8. Now the child has begun to grow, and he's gotten to be a pretty good sized boy. It seems like her husband has died by this time in chapter 8. We're going to read there, beginning in verse 1. Then spoke Elisha unto the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, Arise, and go thou and thy household, and sojourn whithersoever thou canst sojourn, for the Lord hath called for a famine, and it shall also come upon the land 7 years. So she was warned by God through Elisha. She was a woman of God that really trusted in God. And it doesn't mention her husband, as I said, so I think that he was old. The Bible tells us before, I think he had passed away. So was she obedient? Yes. In verse 2, the woman arose and did after the saying of the man of God, and she went with her household, and she sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. She went over into the land of the Philistines, which was next to the coast, and stayed there until the famine left the land of Israel. And the woman arose. Notice that. She didn't wait. She obeyed God. And it came to pass at the 7 years' end that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines, and she went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land. Evidently, somebody had taken her property while she was gone. And the king talked with Jehazah, the servant of the man of God, saying, Tell me, I pray thee, all the great things that Elisha hath done. And it came to pass, as he was telling the king how he had restored a dead body to life, that behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life cried to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazah said, My lord, O king, this is the woman, and this is her son, whom Elisha restored to life. And when the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed unto her a certain officer, saying, Restore all that was hers, and all the fruit of the field, since the day that she left the land, even until now. Faith is a mighty thing, isn't it? Have faith in God and have everything restored to her. Praise the Lord. What a blessing. And this is such an example to us. Because of her faith, things happened. She went to seek after the man of God. And all the time that she was going and even talking, she says that comment through there several times. It is well. It is well. She wasn't blaming God. She knew that all things would work together for good to them that love the Lord, those who are the called according to her purpose. I was really impressed with that as I read this and felt led of the Lord to bring this morning. There are so many times in our lives that trials happen and things are hard, and it's easy for us to complain and blame God. But you know what? God is working everything together for our good. No matter what it is, no matter what kind of trial we're going through, God is working for our good. He is a faithful God. Paul says that over and over so many times. And we know that we're going to suffer in this life, but we need to remain faithful, and our reward will be great in heaven. In Philippians 4:19, Paul says, My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Whatever you need in life, he's going to provide that if you trust him. Now, sometimes we think we need something and we don't really need it. It is not a need. But if we trust in God, we're going to have our needs met, just like this Shunammite woman. A child first, given to her through very, very unusual circumstances. As she was older and her husband was old, she had the child. And then as he raised that child from the dead, is that something that's too hard for God? No, there is nothing too hard for God. In Luke 6:35, Jesus said, But love your enemies, do good and lend. hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be called the children of the highest, the supreme highest. We can realize that, the children of God. The children of God, praise the Lord, by loving others, by loving those, not only our friends, but even those that mistreat us and do bad things to us. Hallelujah. So it's kind of a short message this morning, but that woman is really an illustration, especially as she kept saying, "It is well, it is well, it's okay." And we're going to ask Brother Jim to lead "It is well with my soul." The man that wrote "It is well with my soul," and many of you know probably that his children, his wife and children, died on this famous ship that went down. What's the name of that ship? I think it was 1912. They brought it over. It's one of the greatest ships that was ever created. And on the way back from England over, it sunk and killed a whole lot of people. And this man who was a writer, he went out in a boat, they said, to the middle of the ocean about where that ship went down. And he wrote God gave him the song, "It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul." You know, it's a lesson to us to not grumble and complain and say, "Well, I don't like God anymore. He will never do anything for me. He didn't allow so-and-so to happen, and I prayed, and he didn't allow that to happen," and begin to blame God rather than to just say, "God is a faithful God, and it is well with my soul, no matter what happens." So I hope that's a little lesson to us today, to remember that.
Amen. Let's stand to turn to 278. 7-8. "It is well with my soul."
My soul. 'Tis well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be signed. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound and